Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It is Monday, February 12th, 2018. I'm Glenn Rubenstein. This is the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Tonight we're going to talk about Monday Night Raw. I got Mr. Matt Morgan, Mr. Raj Giri. Later in the show, we'll be talking some WWE financial news with Brandon Howard Thurston. And first, though, Raw. Matt, what did you think of tonight's show?
I got to start off about that dude's name is horrible. Sorry, Mr. Thurston.
Hey, Mr. Thurston should be talking about finances. He can manage my entire 401k with that name.
This is somebody that I'm not worried about in the street fight, but should be handling finances. That's a good call.
But he's actually a wrestler, too. He wrestles.
No, really?
He wrestles for Empire State Wrestling in New York.
Yeah, I know that. Very cool. The overall opinion of the show, I thought we had some good matches tonight. I finally... I'm a little bit more on board with your boy. God, what is wrong with me?
Elias?
Yes. Yes. Do you hear the announcer snickering in the background tonight? You can hear it if you go back and watch it. He's good. Yeah, he's gotten really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was something, man. So let's go segment by segment and talk about this. Opened with John Cena doing a match against The Miz. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what did you think of this, Matt? They're both their promos in the match itself.
Very, very good. I was happy to see Cena didn't go overboard and try to bury him as much as he normally does. I don't know. I liked it. I liked that they led off Raw with that. You know, I thought that we were getting a free pay-per-view match, it felt like.
Yeah, that's big.
Yeah, the one thing, though, is when Cena's talking about people laughing at Miz beating Brock, because there's just some truth to that, right?
Yeah.
Like, you just can't see that. That's like, true. You could, and it's not a size thing. You don't have that with CM Punk or Daniel Bryan. It's just something with The Miz that you just don't take him as a tough guy. And that always hurts him.
It does. It does. Then again, though, when he threw his trunks on for the first time, they try to make him a serious, like, wrestler. I had my doubts about that, too. I really did. And then when he wrestled Cena in the main event of Mania, there's no shot in hell, I kept thinking, even though Miz got hot by that point. You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know if this is one of those things that he can overcome like he did in the past. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, he's talented. I just think he needs to get more of a vicious streak. He needs to do – but the product is just so PG that I don't know if they'll let him do something as dastardly enough to kind of start changing minds a little bit in that direction.
I liked what he said, that he's willing to do the things that no one else is willing to do, because it does make up for his non-toughness. It does make up for his size to a degree, I thought.
Yeah.
And I loved how they jumped Cena. Like, that was not expected by me. I did not see that coming during that cue. I did not see that.
Yeah. You know what bugged me about this promo, though, is Cena acting like he's not going to be able to go to WrestleMania if he doesn't get the world title match. It's like, dude, you're going to be on the card. No one's buying that promo. And it's not Cena. I know that's what's written for him, but
right.
No one's buying that you might not make WrestleMania if you're not, if you don't win the Elimination Chamber.
See, I thought he was going in a different direction, because I'm sure you guys vividly heard him say the whole, you know, where people that are dead, people can come, what was it?
Back from the dead. Legends can come back from the dead.
Yeah. I thought that was the cue for Taker to start going into that, but.
It did seem like, yeah, that did seem like the hint for that.
Yeah, it was something, man. That line alone right there, I think, just really shows this could very well be the plan between these two. That was, God, a half hour between that promo and the match.
Mm-hmm.
Great way to start it off. Went from that to
Cena,
the revival.
Cena winning. Oh, Cena won clean.
Yeah, Cena did win. So The Miz will be the first one to enter the Elimination Chamber.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Revival versus Gallows and Anderson. So Matt, what did you think for the Revival picking up a win here?
I love that they got a win. I'm still worried about my boy Scott Dawkins, Hawkins, whatever his name is, gut.
Dawson.
Dawson. What the hell's up with his gut, man? I can't help stop looking at it. Like, yeah, he didn't have it like that bad at NXT, dude.
he does look a little a little softer on the edges, but
how do I explain this? It hurts them. I'm not just exaggerating here. I'm not a mark for just bodies. I'm not. They're my favorite tag team. I just, what the freak is going on with them though?
Yeah, but that being said, did you remember that tag team feud? It's like a year ago where they wrestle like every week.
Mm-hmm.
It was Los Matadores. Well, they do it all the time, but there was one in particular. It's like Los Matadores and some other team. And it was like every week for 2.5 months or something like that. That's what this revival against Gallows and Anderson is starting to become.
I mean,
keep swapping.
Yeah. As long as my guys get on TV, I'm happy with it for now.
Yeah. I just wish they'd do something more with Balor Club
Yeah. Oh, we lost Raj for a change. That's new. Everyone else coming through? Oh, there he is.
We got some weird looking guy. Left corner.
Yeah. Okay. So we're hanging with Raj. We'll be back soon.
I'm back.
Sorry. Oh, Raj is back now. Sorry. There we go. Live podcasting, folks. Can't beat it. So after that, okay, interesting announcement that ties into some breaking news that was happening when Raw was starting. So Kurt Angle announced that Ronda Rousey will sign her WWE contract at the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. Interesting news, given that right as we were going, the venue sent out an update saying that Backlash, previously a Raw-only pay-per-view, will now be co-branded Raw and SmackDown. Immediately, rumors started circulating online, which I believe, Raj, correct me if I'm wrong, have not been confirmed yet, that going forward, starting with WrestleMania, all WWE pay-per-views will be co-branded. This ties into the Ronda announcement, being that we got to sell more tickets for these things. That Elimination Chamber on its own, Fastlane on its own, the single card's worth of superstars is not enough to juice these ticket sales. So reunifying it for the pay-per-views not only gives them more storytelling possibilities, but allows them to sell more tickets since there'll be more superstars. Now, this isn't confirmed for everything yet, just Backlash. But Matt, what do you think about that possibility? Keeping the brand separate, except for the pay-per-views.
To my understanding, when they do something like this, they should be able to then entail go to play to bigger arenas and charge a higher, which can work both ways. You charge less for a ticket to a bigger arena with more seats in it, or they stay in these the size arenas they're in currently, and they just jack up the price. You know what I mean? They need to do something, obviously, to make up the difference if this is what they're doing here. I liked the specific brand pay-per-views. SmackDown could be weak at times, but I still enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think SmackDown, it's really shown, right? I mean, it seemed like something that wouldn't normally even be on the pre, or maybe that would be on the pre-show for SmackDown was the card itself, just because they are so so light. Shallow. Yeah.
And let's talk about this more after we do the financial stuff. But yeah, this is what I've been saying all along, the pattern, right? This is one of the steps. First, they make SmackDown weak. Then the attendance starts going down. SmackDown starts feeling like a dead brand. Then they combine the pay-per-views. Yada, yada, yada. We're doing the same thing we did last time.
Okay, waiting for confirmation on this. Our chat room is telling us there's some news about the Elimination Chamber match, but we will confirm that when we get to talk about the qualifying match at the end of the show tonight. So let's keep going segment by segment. So Ronda's coming. Jason Jordan's going to miss WrestleMania. Kurt Angle made that announcement. Kind of a weird move for the crowd to be cheering that. I mean, I know he's getting that heel reaction.
Right.
That was,
that's what I should know. Be getting.
But you think, I mean, to cheer an injury?
Sure.
To me, that's...
It's savage, but that's our fan sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little prickish. But
it's stiff.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, so and that was where Angle, man, must be really preoccupied by what's going on with Jordan, because Angle was flubbing like crazy tonight. Mm-hmm. Do you think that they're just trying to script his promos too much?
Yeah. But then again, I'm telling you guys, he's a machine at memorizing promos. I've seen him with 10 pages at TNA, 10 frigging pages, and like that. So I don't know what's going on. I don't.
Do you think maybe it's just the stuff he's given is so bland that he doesn't care to, really rehearse it and spend too much time with it? Because
this is a big deal for him this time around, though, Raj. He's not trying to. This is huge for him.
Yeah,
I don't know. I can't figure out what it is.
Yeah.
So, it looks like it's going to be a 7-man chamber match.
Mm-hmm.
So, wow. I wonder how they design. They just throw an extra door somewhere on that pod, I guess.
They just need five. The two start, right?
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
Is that how it starts? Two start and there's five pods.
Isn't it four pods?
Normally.
Yeah. So they would have to add a fifth.
Right? Two guys have to share a pod, and there should be a match to determine.
Or three men start. Yeah, that's true. Three men start.
Oh, yeah.
That would
kind of work.
Okay.
We'll talk about what led to that situation. But first, Sasha Banks versus Bayley.
Mm-hmm.
Correct me if I'm wrong, they had some sort of friendly match since her time on the main roster, right? This is not their first one-on-one since NXT TakeOver Respect.
I believe so.
Yeah, Sasha's beaten Bayley before on Raw.
Right. Yeah, they had but this was treated like their first real match, head to head, not friendly competition, in front of Bayley's hometown crowd. Bayley did pick up the win, and I know a lot of people were speculating one of them was going to turn heel unless something was going to happen, but it seemed like at the end, at that moment, Nia Jax comes out of nowhere. What did you think of the match itself, Matt?
The match itself I thought was really, really good. The ending of it, they were going to hug, handshake. I could, unless one of them clotheslined the other, I wasn't going to be happy with it. But I love Nia Jax's swagger and confidence. Loved it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, everyone's expecting one of them to turn heel. Bayley's teaming with Elias next month at Madison Square Garden to face John Cena and Nikki Bella. I think that's more, they just needed a mixed tag team for Cena and Nikki. But nothing yet. So, did you say earlier with Ronda Rousey she's signing at the Elimination Chamber?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so they said she's coming to Raw. So
yes.
Yeah. So that's again, they just make Raw so strong and not do anything to kind of balance it out.
And if there ever was a time to not have to do that, it's now. They're both on the same damn network. I don't get the you know what I mean?
Right.
Before it made sense. These SmackDown was on crap channels, no disrespect, but you know, Channel 9 and some of these other channels, Sci-Fi even worse. No, I'm joking. And some other really crap channels versus USA. Now they're in USA. I don't understand the logic in it, you know? Well,
and the amazing thing is, and granted, this is partially setting the stage, right? We get this match, which they allowed to go for a fair amount of time with Sasha Banks and Bayley, a real showcase.
Mm-hmm.
I have literally forgotten about all those other matches between TakeOver Respect and this tonight. But we went from that to then that Asuka vignette talking about her streak and how impressive it's been. And then we had Alexa and Mickey backstage. So this week, three women's segments, which built to Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose versus Mickey and Alexa. Man, why not put Ronda on SmackDown where the women's division is just all, it's one thing, it's smaller. I feel like with Raw, there's so much going on.
They're going to get lost in the shuffle. That's what's going to happen. There's going to be like five of them that are going to suffer from this. Watch.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure of it. Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose versus Mickie James and Alexa Bliss. This, you know, Absolution working their angle, taking out Alexa. What did you think of this match, Matt?
It was what it was.
Yeah.
That's really how I feel. I mean, I love supporting women's wrestling. I love it. But tonight, I don't know. The match itself didn't do too much for me.
Yeah, really. I mean, really more build with Nia and Asuka with Nia with the attack and then Asuka with that promo building up their match.
That match was put out there for.
Yeah.
I wish they'd give Paige some promo time. She doesn't say a word.
Mm-hmm.
She's so good on the mic. I mean, help. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's like they want her there, but they don't want anyone to pay attention to her. It's kind of weird.
I really think with the Ronda thing, they're just putting off dealing with the Paige situation or just not going to deal with it or address it, the injury, all of it at this point. Not till the movie comes out.
Yeah. Did you guys notice those crappy graphics that are on Raw now?
They're in a Nerd Report. I saw it, right?
Yeah, we got a nerdometer.
Whatever it is. So,
oh my god,
very exciting. Okay, so we're going to talk about what some would call the highlight of tonight in a moment. which is saying something because I thought tonight had some good highlights. But first, I want to give some love to the sponsor of this episode, and it's Dollar Shave Club, which gives you a great shave at a great price. You've heard us talk about it before. DollarShaveClub.com delivers everything you need to look, feel, and smell your best. More than just razors, Dollar Shave Club is better than shopping in a store. They have everything. I mean, everything you need to look, smell, and feel your best. Shampoo, body wash, toothpaste, and of course, the best razors I've ever used and the best razors you'll ever use. Best razors Matt Morgan's ever used. And trust me, this guy's got to get rid of hair, not just on his face, but his entire body. And what does he choose for that? Dollar Shave Club. So you know that you get the high quality shave with your Dollar Shave Club executive razor. The gold standard of any routine is the Dr. Carver's shave butter. Helps the razor gently glide across your skin, and they deliver everything to you. Means no more trip to the store, wandering in at the aisles, hunting for razor, shampoo, toothpaste, being treated like a criminal, having to get those razors out of a case. No more. Dollar Shave Club to the rescue. And you can go for the gold. Join Dollar Shave Club today, and for just $5 with free shipping, you'll get their Raj, you have to read this. It's actually called this.
Yeah. You're on a roll, man. Go ahead.
Oh, I thought there was no swearing on this podcast. Yeah, but yeah. No, with Dollar Shave Club, for $5 in free shipping, you'll get their shit shower shave starter set. Kid you not, folks. It's right That's here in the column. Copy. It has the six-blade executive razor plus trial sizes of shave butter, body cleanser, and One Wipe Charlie's, which are, yes, indeed, the butt wipes that you've heard us talk about so much on this podcast in the past. Then they keep the blades coming for a few bucks more a month. You can get yours at dollarshaveclub.com/INC. That's dollarshaveclub.com/INC. So glad to have them as a sponsor of the podcast. Seriously, folks, everything they make is fantastic. dollarshaveclub.com/INC.
I know it's a little ironic this week. We're all three of us have beards. Even Brandon, who's coming on here in a little bit, all of us have beards. But still keep it trim. People that follow the podcast that know when I do use my Dollar Shave Club and shave my face fully, I look about 20 years younger. So it's a great shave. It's smooth. I mean, you can look at my Twitter right now from a couple months ago to see what it looks like after I do shave with it. It's great. I still use it. I use it to trim up and clean up, and I've been using it for almost over a year now. So it's a great product.
Absolutely fantastic stuff. So Elias comes out, almost called him Elias Sampson. You remember the names, even though they dropped the Sampson. Elias comes out, does a promo on San Jose. Oh man. As someone who lives in the Bay Area, rather enjoyed that tonight. Thought that was great. Interrupted by Braun Strowman, who brought along his own instrument, a huge cello. So, Matt, I know in the past you were a little critical of Braun in the Mixed Match Challenge and that alternate universe, sort of goofy, funny Braun.
Right.
What did you think of that tonight with Braun singing, playing an instrument in a mocking fashion?
Right. It almost hurt him. If you listen to the crowd reaction at the very beginning of that, you know what I mean? It wasn't like they were waiting to see which way it would go. Would it suck? Would it be good? That's not the silence that it was. It was, oh God, no, don't make this guy. No, we don't make another A-Train into like Lord Tenzai into this dancing bear. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I felt it from every single person. But he recovered. He did his thing. He showed charisma. So I'm always, as a fan, appreciative of that instead of just being some big stiff. However, it does not help him. But what did help him, and they did a good job of doing, to get out of that ridiculousness, the ridiculousness in a hole that he was put in this entire stupid segment with bringing the cello out, was that one stiff clothesline to the cross the dude's chest. He clobbered him with the very first blow, and it was back to this dude's a badass.
This actually was my favorite segment of the night. And when I first saw Braun out there, I was like, oh man, why are you doing this? You know, it's too soon. He's special. He's a monster. I just look at Braun sometimes as like, this is just look at your, you know, blueprint on Undertaker and just kind of use that. You don't have him do goofy stuff. But that being said, Braun pulled it off. He didn't come across as a you know, like when Big Show would do this, you know, New Year's Baby and all this really corny comedy stuff. It wasn't that bad. It was more like Steve Austin when he'd do stuff like that. And what? He not as good as Steve Austin. But
see, I took it like Big Show, actually. I really did.
Yeah.
Well, I meant like where he's still a badass doing it. He doesn't come across as a corny, funny big guy. He came across as still a badass while doing the comedy with the guitar.
But I don't think in a million years they ever would have made Roman do this spot or Brock do this spot, which makes me think they don't see Braun as that
Brock
level.
They would have back in the day.
But yeah, but
remember Brock did the thing with the sombrero with Eddie Guerrero and dancing around.
Different world. Different time. I'm saying, but that makes me think they don't see Braun as A plus. They see him as A, but not A plus. Because I think, you know.
Or they're succumbing to the idiots that keep giving, forcing, you know, people these ideas to try him, have him try these new things, which is idiotic.
Goldberg with the Goldust wig is, you know, what it could easily turn into when they did that to Goldberg. It just kind of instantly kind of took away his mystique. And
yeah,
they felt like they were giving him character, but it just
lessened always him. It doesn't always work. Some guys don't need the character. Is being a badass. It is being 6'8", 380 pounds. That's it. It's black and white, easy to understand. Don't F it up. Don't make it complicated.
I mean, look, the stuff with Alexa, like I said, adorable, delightful, but that's not what we want in Braun. I want more Braun coming out of the garbage truck, Braun coming out of the ambulance. Give me more of that, of just build the monster more. And I think already they're cashing in I mean, save this for a couple of years after he has a good long title run under his belt.
I agree with you guys. But I will say I felt like Braun did pull this off. Like, it turned out way better than if I saw it written on a piece of paper and I was one of the writers, I'd be like, we can't do this. And it turned out, like I said, I really enjoyed this segment. I thought Elias was great. I thought Braun pulled it off.
Elias was great.
You know, Elias is hilarious because he gives this like smirk when he runs down the city. Like, he kind of really means it. You know, so many wrestlers use that cheap heat insulting the local town, but Elias does it in a way where you kind of feel he's got a little disdain for the town.
He does it very nonchalantly, too, which is the funniest part.
I think that's part of it. It's so dry.
Yeah.
So here's what's crazy about this is we get to this point in the night, and this was like the first 2 hours of Raw we've discussed. And then that last hour, we go Sheamus versus Roman Reigns, and then into the Fatal 5-Way. And we went over an hour. Do you think it was a mistake, Matt, to put on that, like, to have long matches back to back? I mean, I get the Fatal 5-Way, but Sheamus versus Roman, do you feel like that match needed to be as long as it was?
I absolutely do not. No, it did not.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, man. Raj, what did you think of that?
I thought it was too long, too, but that's what they do. That's Raw. You never watch Raw and feel like the show went pretty fast. You always have those
last week. Whatever they did last week, clearly Vince was at the dentist all day. Or something. Last week was the anomaly. We had a fast pace.
Yes, we did.
Very show.
Faster.
And this week.
I'm forgetting what last week was already.
Last week we had like the five women segments, like separate. We had the Elimination Chamber match for who was going to be the last to enter. I thought tonight was back to the status quo. It was good. It had high points. It just felt the Roman versus Sheamus thing, man. I mean, I get it. They're putting Sheamus over. They're making Roman look strong by having going this knockdown, drag out long match. But just kind of, I don't know. I feel like with the bar, Sheamus and Cesaro, it's the same problem they had when they had Rollins facing either of them each week. It's just they do these really, really long matches.
What it did serve a purpose for, though, that there could be a tease that it would be Roman and Seth at the next pay-per-view versus the bar. Like, they did a good job with this match. So this match had to happen. It had to not tip their hand that Seth was going to be in the Elimination Chamber.
That's a good point.
But it did not have to be this long.
Yeah. Oh, it was long. Then we had the second chance Fatal 5-Way. Bray Wyatt versus Matt Hardy versus Apollo Crews versus Seth Rollins versus Finn Balor. And you heard Raj talk about it earlier, but due to the ending of this match, real quick.
Before this match, they had promos throughout the show building up to it. And you had Matt Hardy doing his thing. I feel like I don't know if they give him so little time that he has to rush his stuff in that it doesn't give his character feel like it doesn't get time to breathe, his promos. But man, Matt, what you were talking about with Finn and the smiling, like that's all I noticed now. And it seemed even worse tonight. Like it's way overpronounced.
It is. That's. I'm telling you, it's a Vince-ism, and they're not letting off. They're not letting them off the hook. Like, They're really doing a, ugh, it's annoying. It's a shame.
Isn't that what LeBar tweeted tonight? Wrestling Inc.'s own Justin LeBar tweeted that he was straight up told that Vince's thing, people love it when a handsome guy smiles. So Finn, keep smiling.
First of all, I said that on the show when Justin was here. Thanks, right. Justin, for the credit.
yeah, exactly.
Well, we just outed Justin's source.
Right. But, you know, it's worse. You know what? It almost reminds me. You remember when DDP did that,
yes.
that gimmick when it was in totally. WWE, when he was just overly smiling? He was just over the top. That's what it's starting to come off as. Dude. Unless this is leading to a heel turn. Vince is off on this one.
He is.
I think we're going to get a good Rollins versus Finn feud out of this. But, yeah, I don't know which way.
I'll take that. Goes.
Yeah, I mean, seems like it, right? I mean, tonight with the story, Apollo was the odd man out. I thought he could win this because he was the only one that didn't have a storyline coming out of this match.
He did well tonight, by the way.
Yeah.
I wanted to make sure we get that in. Apollo did his thing. He belonged out there, I felt.
Yeah.
Yeah, his promo was pretty good. I thought backstage. I thought that, you know, was definitely one of the better ones we've seen from him. They gave him more to work with.
It's very difficult to come from where he's had to come from with the boot, you know what I mean? Being on main event nonstop.
Being
with old boy as his manager. I mean, it screams, no offense to him, because I don't think he's a C-level talent whatsoever. But what they've done for him and how they booked him and how they presented him and the crap they give him has been nothing greater than C level. So to get him to be believable in some of these, you know what I mean, in the match tonight, that says a lot about his talent. It really does. I like him. I do. He needs to get away from homeboy as fast as possible.
Yeah, I agree. I'm a fan as well. I thought his promo started off a little rough, like he was reading. And then I thought he did really good on it. I thought it was one of his better promos. And I thought he did really good in this match. This match was really good.
Loved it. Loved the match. Hardy, Matt did a good job too. Matt was able to hang in there and do his thing as well. I liked everybody. The only one who kind of was what's his name that I didn't really
Bray? Think.
Yeah. He had his nice finisher on Matt on the floor, but other than that,
yeah, he needs a revamp or something. And I'm not saying give him a new gimmick, but you know, like I've been saying for a while, a baby face turn or something.
Or just give him time away. I don't get why so hard about that, and pay him properly, obviously, but give these guys time away when it's needed.
Yeah.
To make them fresh and make you more money. How do they not?
Yeah. Matt Hardy, he got kind of a quiet reaction when he came out, but the crowd like started siding with him as the match went on.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing, by the way. That's very difficult to do. It's easier to get a pop in your entrance than it is to get them to come with you during a match. It's harder.
Yeah. I can see that. So both Finn and Seth pin Bray. And we went off the air with that saying, we don't know who's going to Elimination Chamber. I assume there would be a one-on-one match next week. But no, Kurt Angle said 7-man chamber.
Cool.
Here's my problem with that. First of all, with the double pins, they do those so often now. Like,
really?
Remember back in the day, it used to be like a big controversial thing when it would happen. And
it'd be two guys' feet hit the floor at the same time out of a battle royal or a cage.
Well, it would be that, but they would do double pins every now and then back in the day.
Really? Or would the guys submit while the others, like, somehow, you know what I mean? Like, Kurt would have the ankle lock on somebody, and Benoit would have the cripple crossface on the guy, and he'd tap out. It's like, well, who won?
Yeah, or when they would do, like, the back bridge, and both their shoulders are on the mat, and the referee would count three.
Yes,
not a double pin as in a triple threat match.
Gotcha.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they used to never do triple threat matches back in the day. But now I just feel like they do this finish a lot where – you know, where you have two people winning or two people losing. That's their way to set up a triple threat, or in this case, adding one more person to the Elimination Chamber match. But good for Seth.
It's great, and it gives us two guaranteed exciting guys in that match. They're exciting for me to watch.
Yeah, 7 guys in one match. So next to the Royal Rumble and the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, this is going to be the third most populated match at a WWE pay-per-view in 2018.
Someone's asking for example of a double pin back in the day. Well, Steve Austin, when he lost to Kane and Undertaker, there was that time, and the title got vacated.
They both pinned Austin at the same time.
Yep. So anyway, and that led to a big world title, you know, tournament. So Anyway, but yeah, I liked it. I thought the match was good, and I don't know. Seth versus Jason Jordan wasn't doing anything for me, so hopefully they got a good backup plan.
Yeah, we'll see, man. So speaking of Jordan, one thing I did love tonight is when Cesaro dropped that bomb on Seth, saying maybe Jordan's in rehab, you know, recovering with Dean Ambrose, talking about what a terrible tag team partner you are. That was fantastic. What is the latest on Dean Ambrose, Raj?
So I actually got a text right before we went on the air that they're starting to advertise him for live events in April. But yeah, PW Insider had reported a little earlier today that that so it looks like he was getting checked up. Looking like it could be good. So
yeah, maybe the Raw after Mania. That'd be a
He underwent surgery back in December. We'll see.
Who cares?
Well, I mean, they could do. I mean, if they bring Dean back as a heel, attack, you know, Seth, and you got Seth and Dean feuding with Dean as a heel, then you got something.
Yeah, deal as a heel. Dean as a heel would be good. Bring back the intensity. So, all in all, before Rich, we jump in,
what do we give a score?
Yeah. What do you think of Matt?
How about this one? I give it a B minus tonight.
Wow.
I agree with you. B minus.
Sounds about right. Man, Elimination Chamber, one more Raw until then.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about the news, but first we got Brandon Howard Thurston, newest addition to Wrestling Inc. He was with us a couple years ago. He's also co-host of WrestleNomics podcast. He's when it comes to finances and reading financial documents and stuff, he's the man. Brandon, how are you doing?
I'm great. I'm the one who has subjected myself to all that boredom of reading these financial documents quarter after quarter. So,
yeah.
Thank you guys for having me on.
Thanks. Thanks for coming on. Yes. So, WWE, they released their earnings, their Q4 earnings last Thursday.
Yep.
As far as the call go, the call went, it wasn't anything really big out of this one. They seem to insinuate that they're going to have other networks bidding for them. They're not making any big promises on that they're going to double or quadruple their current deal, which they kind of did last time. That got them in some trouble. What'd you make of this earnings report?
This was the Q4 earnings report. So this is also the review of the entire year. Right. So we got not just a quarterly report, but an annual report, and they gave us some details about like what each business segment is doing. But like overall, the big story is they made more revenue than last year, more revenue than they've ever made, $801 million versus $729 million the year prior. And remember, TV makes up about a third of that. Their profits were also up to $102 million in 2017 versus $80 million the year prior. And the WWE Network made more profit this year. And when I say profit, I'm talking about something called a WEBA, which you can think of as like a measure of profit. But the WWE Network, because they actually put more in-ring content on there and not as much original content, not as much of the camp WWEs and the Holy Folies. So the network cost less for them to run, and they made more a WEBA because of it.
So basically, they're dropping a lot of these shows, cutting back expenses, and people aren't canceling. So those shows weren't adding anything. It was just nice to have for
something. It's something that George Berrios, who's the chief financial officer, has said in a couple of speeches recently, and it's something they've made clear in the conference call as well, is that they've said, you know, we were shocked that the subscribers wanted more in-ring content. We figured they had 5 hours of Raw and SmackDown every week. That why would they want to watch more wrestling? But lo and behold, things like the Cruiserweight Classic, the Mae Young Classic, the UK tournament did really well in the network, and obviously we hear that the NXT does well among other content as well.
A question for you: do they show like the statistics on like people like me that just only watch like Attitude Era?
I'm sure they have the data. We don't get that shared with us publicly.
That's not a top 10 thing.
It's a top 10 list every week. I think if you go to the WWE Network itself and you click on like a most popular, the most popular in the menu, you can see what the rankings are. You don't get any like absolute numbers about how many people are watching.
Because I swear that's all I watch on this thing. Yeah. It's like Nitro and WWF Attitude.
Yeah. Yeah, I watch a lot of 80s, like Macho Man Savage stuff.
Yeah, they've even said like that. That's one reason maybe why they brought back Sting. They saw a lot of activity on the network around Sting.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So with the network, so it was up like 2%. Is that right from the previous year? Or was it 3, something like that?
About 1.4 million to 1.5 million.
So
average over the year,
and it's around 1 million U.S. subscribers, right?
Just over 1 million. Yeah. They're still trying to grow the international segment of their subscribership.
Right. So live attendance was up a little, but also they did a lot more international shows, which kind of skewed the average, correct?
Well, they did 40 more live events. So their total attendance was up. The live event revenue was only up a little bit, and a OIBDA or profit was only up negligibly. So they ran 40 more shows, but they only made a little bit more profit for it. And average ticket prices are up a little bit, but venue merch, the merchandise that they actually sell at the events themselves, was actually down, even though they had more attendees, more people going to the show than the year prior.
Is that just no hot star right now? No hot item?
I guess so. That's the only thing I can think of. There's no John Cena on the house shows on a full schedule anyway. There's Brock Lesnar, obviously, is only there once in a great while for house shows. And there's no other big star that's coming up. I know we have Roman Reigns that we always hear is a good merch seller, AJ Styles, but no big star.
I just wonder if you did like Finn Balor. I mean, if Finn Balor did the demon thing more, if that would, because that seems like the only thing that would probably, to me, that seems like it wouldn't seem.
It's a lot of body paint.
It is a lot. Well, you could just do the face for house shows, you know? I don't know.
I've heard it takes them like 4 hours to prepare that, right? I guess that's
with the body paint, yeah.
Show, right?
Yeah,
it did at NXT, yeah.
But if you modified it to do it where you know you got like a sting face for house shows and small events, and do a really cool one for pay per views. But anyway, I found that interesting. So, what was the big reason it was for the record revenues? Was it because they are in the final year of their TV deal? So that, you know, the final year is, those are, they start off with the first year being the lowest and then builds up to where the final year is the biggest year. Is that kind of a big part of it or?
Yeah, it's escalating payments. So they have a number of TV deals around the world. Their TV deal in the United States, the most people are familiar with, is the NBC Universal deal. That's the parent company of the USA Network. And so that deal, as well as their international deals, each payment that they get is higher and higher. So it's a 5-year deal. I think that's what the current deal is with NBC Universal. So each payment that they get is bigger and bigger. So it's guaranteed money. It's baked in. It's not going to change like the network might or like live events might.
Right. And the viewership is actually way down from when they first signed this deal. Right.
Yeah. We've been watching Raw ratings and SmackDown ratings. SmackDown's been helped by the brand split and been helped by being moved to USA Network from Sci-Fi. But yeah, TV ratings have declined over these last 5 years, although it looks like they've stabilized a little bit over the last 6 months or so.
Yeah, but it's kind of crazy now that they're doing SmackDown, you know, back with its own brand. It's on USA, much stronger network. They're right now in that 2.5 million neighborhood, and they used to be like 2.2, 2.3 when they're on Sci-Fi for a tape show on Thursdays, right?
Right. It's I spent a lot of time thinking and arguing about why is it down. There's just so many more media options, DVRs, alternate ways to watch it. You don't have to actually be a cable subscriber. Maybe people are watching through Hulu or Sling or whatever it is. Maybe people are just catching the YouTube clips because they put a YouTube clip of every segment of Raw and SmackDown out there for free for anybody who's got internet access to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't see TV ratings as like the decline in TV ratings to be an indicator of like a decline in W popularity, at least in terms of like the money that they're making. They're breaking records.
I agree. And people will say the opposite, which isn't fair. It's not that you can't compare it to what it used to be as far as people's TV. I don't watch TV. This is the only show I watch on television right now. I swear to God, everything else is Fire Stick.
It's live sports. So people watch live sports, and that's the big valuable property on television right now.
Yeah. So the reason I have a box, I think. Yeah.
But next to Game of Thrones, live sports are perhaps the most pirated or illegally streamed content on the internet as well.
I haven't figured out how to do it.
Yeah, but as a percentage, if you take out pay-per-views, it's not really that much. When you have the Super Bowl was, I'm forgetting, what was the TV viewership? It was like 106 million or something. And through the legal streaming, where people could watch it online through a streaming service, it was only like 2 million streams. It was something ridiculously low.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I read that. Yeah.
So, I mean, that is, you know, such a small amount when you have the option of doing one or the other, people picking the TV. So, do you have any other big takeaways from this one?
There's some talk about the mixed match challenge. I think a lot of analysts on the call, some of them are really into new media. So they cover WWE as well as other businesses that are into new media because WWE is doing the WWE network. So that's something that they're into. Mm-hmm. And there's at least one analyst who asks a lot about like Facebook and obviously doing this mixed match challenge and whether maybe someday Raw or SmackDown could end up on a digital platform like Facebook. I know there was I believe it was Amazon made a play for Indian cricket rights, and that got them really excited, thinking that maybe Facebook or Amazon will make a play for WWE content. That hasn't happened yet. But my Amazon Echo is trying to talk to me right now because I said Amazon.
So yeah. One of the interesting things with this, with the Facebook Watch, they said as of that call, the data that they had almost 6 million views. So when you go there, you see these episodes that have, you know, 1.7, 1.9 million views. But they said it averaged out to 12 million minutes watched. So which means that the average view is 2 minutes long. It's right. You know, and that's once you take into account the number of people that actually do watch the whole show, that means that there's all these people watching for 10, 15 seconds, 30 seconds.
This is about a 23-minute segment.
Right.
Speaking of 23-minute segments. Wait, what? I said it out loud? I'm sorry.
Okay, here we go. Here's a question that Matt will be very interested
in. I'm joking.
Because I'm curious about this. I know this has come up before on the podcast, Brandon. So WWE is making more money than ever in terms of revenue, in terms of profit. How have superstar salaries been affected by this?
I wish we knew.
I mean, do we have any data? I mean, we know what Triple H is making. Do we know what guys at the top versus guys, you know, coming at the top of NXT are making currently?
As far as what WWE publicizes through their financial reportings, we don't know. We know what Triple H makes because he's a corporate executive. We know what Shane makes because he's family of corporate executives. We know they give us a little bit of detail what Stephanie makes. And it's around like 2 to 3 million. Stephanie will make a lot of money because she owns a lot of stock. So she gets a lot of dividends. You know, there's been reports like from Forbes and things like that, like top 10 lists of, you know, WWE salaries, which I don't know. I'm agnostic about those numbers because I don't know where they come from, what the methodology is that they use to get at those numbers, but the rankings at least seem about right to me. Like Brock Lesnar on top, John Cena next. Roman Reigns probably after that, maybe AJ Styles after that.
Hmm. Yeah.
Interesting. So what do you make of this news tonight that was breaking? Backlash is going to become a co-branded pay-per-view, and it looks like all the pay-per-views going forward might be so. Do we have any data on how ticket sales were for the individual brand pay-per-views in the Q4?
Ticket sales for individual.
They don't break them down by brand.
They give us average attendance. Pay-per-views always do much better than Raw and SmackDown or house shows for that matter. But it's something that I'm going to research and maybe writing something for soon for Wrestling Inc.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
I can tell you, I looked today, just as far as Monday Night Raw goes, I know we've talked about attendance there. Had wild thought this afternoon, maybe I drive down to San Jose, and I was surprised that there were only, now granted they tarped off part of the upper section, but they did have the 200s open on both sides, but there were only single tickets available as of 2 hours before showtime today, which I was very surprised of, that you couldn't even get seats together. Because I mean, I've been to many a live event and a taping before where there was nothing but open seating.
Oh, Raws tend to draw better than live events by quite a bit.
Oh, yeah, you know, definitely.
Pay-per-views and Raws definitely skew the number, and SmackDown under that, and then Raw live events and SmackDown live events.
Yeah. Yeah, no, the last Raw I went to a year ago in the Bay Area, the camera, the side the camera is on was probably half full at best.
Yeah. So it should be an interesting year. Brandon, if you had a wish of where Raw could end up or where it stays, just as a personal viewing habit, what would your preference be?
As a cord cutter, I don't really care. There's been rumor that they're going to maybe go with Fox. Maybe Fox will pass up on UFC. Maybe Fox will get both UFC and WWE. I don't think that's going to happen.
Real quick, when you say cord cutter, like, are you watching Raw on Sling, or do you watch it later? Or
I watch it later. I may have to get Sling pretty soon, though.
Gotcha. It does seem like it hasn't made too big of a dent yet, but it's leaning in that direction as far as cord cutting and stuff. It's definitely picking up momentum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think the one thing I think with Fox is if Raw ended up on Fox and they had to make it 2 hours, I think that'd be such a big help.
Right.
That's my two cents. Well, Brandon, man, thanks a lot. Look forward to you got a bunch of articles on Wrestling Inc. already today. You got stuff coming up, some cool stuff coming up tomorrow. So thanks for joining us, man.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks.
All right. Take care.
Cool. So Raj, what else is in the news?
All right. So, let's talk about that for a minute. The two brands. So going back to dual branded pay-per-views starting in May, Matt, from what you've seen in the past, you think that's a good idea?
Oh, okay. For the bottom line, it is. It's a quick fix. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
It's a quick fix for them trying to, you know, obviously show more profit or whatever the hell the reason they're doing it for, right? Sell more tickets to back the houses more, whatever their reasoning. But in the long run, I don't think it is. But then again, they've proven they can't do this brand, you know, division properly. They cannot do it properly. So because I don't trust them, I like it, I guess, as far as I'm going to get great matches now, not like nonstop great matches. The problem is it's going to be bad for the younger guys. Others are not going to get as many opportunities now because of this. We're not going to get a Jinder Mahal would not have had this opportunity. The opportunity he's had this been, you know what I mean? Like a star-studded packed pay-per-view. Right. You know what I mean? That he wouldn't have been able to wiggle his way in there and show some life, you know, like that match he had versus Finn on Raw that one night. We stiffed the crap out of him. It was that moment on that he started building. But you know what I'm saying? It's just we're not going to get anything like that. We're not going to get opportunities for these guys in the lower card.
Yeah, no, I agree. Because you look at guys like your Ty Dillingers and your Bludgeon Brothers. Mike Kanellis, he's been on a milk carton. We don't even know where he is.
He's been working live events. Mike and Epico going against the New Day.
Right. Yeah. He's been doing dark matches and stuff. But see, you already see how hard it is for these guys to get on a pay-per-view as it is, even a kickoff. Mm-hmm. Now, when you got the rosters combined, it's going to be that much harder. And, you know, you got 10 matches. Now, instead of 10 matches from one brand, you're doing 10 matches from two. Raw will probably get 6 or 7 of those, you know, and SmackDown like 3.
Okay, now here's my problem with that. Back in the day, you'd have, if you combined both rosters of SmackDown and Raw, you'd have Kane and Taker, Stone Cold, Rock, all these superstars, right? The humongous, bigger-than-life stars. Jericho. I mean, Jericho and Eddie and Chris Benoit, those guys were like in the lower mid-card on some of these.
Right, rangers, yeah. Right?
So it was insane. Now we don't have that. We have a lot of guys on the same level that I hate to say, like, I'm not trying to sound like a hater, but they're not Rock, Austin, those type of guys. We got Cena, you've got Brock. That's the only ones I see on that level or near that level. I don't even want to insult those guys I just said.
Yeah, and so we should first clarify, a couple of people in the chat are asking this. They're not dropping the brand extension just for pay-per-views. They might. The rumor is that they're going back to just dual branded pay-per-views, not the single branded pay-per-views. And we don't know for sure. They, I reached out to WWE.
Gets 2 matches. Great.
Right, exactly. So I reached out to WWE, haven't heard back from them. But what we do know for sure is that the May pay-per-view, Backlash, which was supposed to be a Raw pay-per-view, is now a dual-branded pay-per-view.
Makes sense. Remember last year with the Superstar Shake-Up? Mm-hmm. Like, Backlash was essentially a dual-branded pay-per-view.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Because we don't know. We don't know where they're going to move people after WrestleMania.
That's true.
Yeah, so...
Maybe we get another House of Horrors match. That's my hope for Backlash this year. Second annual. Keep the tradition alive.
That seems like that was longer than a year ago.
Yeah. Best professional wrestling, folks. Watching Raw and SmackDown Live each week will age you. I don't know. So after Payback, I think they should just kill some of these lesser pay-per-views. I think it should just go Payback right into Money in the Bank. Like, just go with, like, a solid 8 to 10 pay-per-views and stop doing this.
Well, the problem with what we saw, like, you saw it with Impact, is when you have these long periods, and you see it now, when they cut down on pay-per-views and you have these long periods between them, they don't know how to climax those stories. So you have these weeks where nothing is going on.
Yep.
So, we
had this early on. I remember this going, yep.
But, yeah, look at SmackDown right now. I mean, so I went to a SmackDown house show on Tuesday. And it was remarkable how little – I mean, it felt like I'd seen all these matches before, except for Mike Kanellis teaming with Epico. That was actually fresh. Everything else was just more of what we've seen on TV, and there are no stakes whatsoever.
They'd wait for the last 4 weeks, you know what I'm saying, before that pay-per-view to finally get it going. Here they have 8 weeks at times, right?
And for Fastlane.
Then the first 4 weeks are like just doing this on TV, giving us crap. Nobody cares about nothing. There's no stakes. And then finally 4 weeks in, maybe even 3 weeks in, as I recall properly, they'd start kind of build toward a crescendo toward the pay-per-view. It's like, guys, you had 8 weeks. What are you doing?
Oh, yeah, but tomorrow night on SmackDown, oh, my God, will it be Baron Corbin or Dolph Ziggler that gets added to the triple threat, making it a fatal four-way at Fastlane?
Oh, God. Man, Dolph.
That's the promo.
We even have to talk about that. That's miserable. I feel so bad.
Yeah.
I'm horrible for him.
Yeah. So, Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's I kind of think it's a good thing in a sense that the SmackDown pay-per-views have just been so kind of pointless and uneventful lately. And it's just been AJ, Kevin, and Sammy for it just seems like forever. And so at least
Nakamura.
Well, Nakamura hasn't been the main event in a while.
Hanging
he
out
will
backstage,
be.
Taunting AJ.
Right. Yeah. So, but it's not like combining them does anything different. They really need to shake up these brands and make SmackDown a lot stronger.
Oh, really. But look at this! I'm looking at the schedule.
They got to move Finn. They got to move Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, Backlash May 6th, Payback May 27th. That's the current schedule. One's supposed to be Raw. One's supposed to be SmackDown.
And there's two in June, right?
June is just Money in the Bank.
And then so, July has two.
Merge both those May ones, man. That fixes a lot of problems. Yeah. July has one on the books, Battleground. That's because Great Balls of Fire, they haven't announced that they're doing it, so they're probably not. And then SummerSlam. I mean, yeah, they could tighten up the schedule, but it's in the fall where it gets nuts. Like Extreme Rules, September 16th. Hell in a Cell, September 30th. TLC, October 21st. It's just too much.
Yeah, if they are doing dual branded, I wouldn't be surprised if they drop one of those. I mean, they haven't started selling tickets yet, so it's not that big of a deal.
Nope.
So, all right, man. I see Matt's on his final legs.
Cool. So before we take this home, Matt, what would you like to plug? Saw that you've got your city meetings being streamed on Facebook Live now. Saw that announcement on
your
Twitter.
Man.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. You guys go to our city. Not that anyone here is going to do it, but you guys go on our City of Longwood website, and you can be connected to the Facebook page that way. And the first and third Mondays of every month at 6 p.m., you could catch moi and others, other commissioners, doing their thing and seeing what we're doing for our city to be progressive and change.
It's awesome, man. He is BP Matt Morgan on Instagram, on the Twitters, with us every Monday night as we cover Monday Night Raw. Raj, what should people look for on the site, man?
More from Eric Bischoff, and
that was good. I listened to it.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah, it was good.
Thanks, I appreciate it. And yeah, just check back with us on Wednesday.
Yeah,
you got him in a good mood, by the way. I know Eric very well, and he can go either way. And there was a moment there, but you got him. He did a good job. It was really good. And I thought you did a great job. It was good.
Thanks.
Awesome, thanks, man. So Wednesday, 12 noon Eastern, SmackDown Live. We'll talk about who's being added. Is it Baron Corbin? Is it Dolph Ziggler? Will they manage to make you care about the outcome? Tune in Wednesday to find out more. In the meantime, I'm Glenn Rubenstein. You can find me on Twitter at Glenn Rubenstein, and we'll see you back here on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Take care.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.